Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and we are going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Thursday, November 8th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you very much.
And I am too, actually. I mean, I'm feeling so much better. I mean, I was outside yesterday hauling hay all day. Got my pickup kind of hung up in a muddy road. That gets me pulled out. But I had a great day because I'm outside doing things. My energy's back and I feel good. So let's get in trouble.
All righty. Well, don't you overdo it now.
Oh, I'm not. Believe me, I'm not. I know when I were. By the time I got last night, I was ready to go to bed. But I feel, God bless me, Melody. He really has. I'm 70 years old and I feel like I did when I was 40 years old. I have no complaints.
Do you actually remember how you felt when you were 40 years old?
Yeah, I think I do. More than I remember yesterday. But
well,
let's go ahead.
God.
Yes. I thank God every day.
Well, you're not that much older than I am, so.
Well, I know. You're 41 now. I realize that. But.
Yeah, but you will always be older.
Well, I guess so.
Hey, gold today. Well, you know, gold is old too. You know, it's thousands and thousands of years old, but we're still struggling trying to get it out of its trading range. And here we are down a couple bucks today, down $320, $1,223.90. Silver was down 13 cents at $14.52. Platinum was down $10 at $866. Palladium was down 9 at $11.27. The USDX must be stronger, and it is, 0.51 at 96.68. Crude oil took another beating, down 1.12 at 60.55. And the paper markets today, of course, we know the Fed had its meeting yesterday and today, and of course, they didn't raise rates, and you know, there's a couple of statements in there, in their wording and so forth, but the markets fell a little bit, and some of them reversed themselves. The Dow was one. It was down earlier and reversed itself to up 11 points, 26,191. And the NASDAQ was down 40 points, 7,530. And the S&P was down 7 at 2,806. But what I find the interesting of all the numbers is the 10-year yield. That was 3.23%. So we're right back up there. And again, I expect to see a lot of volatility in these markets tomorrow. So it's, you know, we saw the crude oil plunge, you know, it's in a bear market. Let's see, it was in barely a month, the crude has plunged about 21%. And that's since the closing at a four-year high of 76.41 on October 3rd. The latest slide marks the ninth consecutive decline for oil and the lowest closing price in 8 months. And there was a lot of estimates just a couple months ago where we'd see oil at $100 a barrel. And, of course, everyone, there was concerns, of course, with the Iran sanctions that it would put a lot of pressure on the price and it would skyrocket. But with the temporary waivers that the administration gave out to allow India, China, and some of these other countries to continue to buy oil, that didn't seem to have too much of an impact on it. So, and it's also due to, yeah.
Go ahead. But I just wonder, our crude oil production hit a record high again this month. And, of course, Trump over the last couple of years opened up, like 13 million acres to the gas and oil companies to drill for gas and oil, and he lowered the companies. I mean, he even lowered the royalties on it for the companies, and of course, to ease some environmental restrictions. Do you think that increased production in the U.S. may cause some of that price drop?
You think?
I mean, I would think that's
probably. And I don't get excited until I start seeing the gasoline prices drop.
Well, ours hasn't dropped a whole lot.
Oh, I know. So I'm talking about below a buck, you know, or a buck. Then I'll get excited about being the biggest oil producer in the world, you know. Saudi Arabia, they're already pumping near record highs. The Permian Basin that's growing so rapidly that it's running out of pipelines. So you have bottlenecks in Texas, and some of that might not be cleared up until the end of 2019. So I mean, you know, there's people and analysts out there saying that this could be short-lived, that the prices might rebound and so forth. We saw that the United States have recently surpassed Russia and Saudi Arabia as the world's largest oil producer. With this flood of production, it has helped to lift the oil stockpiles. Commercial oil inventories in the United States soared by 5.8 million barrels last week, and now we're above, like, I think it's for the five-year average, above 3%. This is all fine and dandy, but until I see our debt going down, or until I see our prices, you know, for us going down, I don't get too excited about it, because it's all paper traded, and
it's not just oil, it's not just gasoline, it's also heating fuel, whatever. I want to see the prices drop on that too.
Absolutely.
We're going into winter season, and I know people already who are struggling to even fill their tanks with propane, natural gas, or oil. They're having a hard time already, and this, we're just getting started.
Absolutely. So, you know, we can print twice what we're printing now. If it doesn't have any impact, you know, you'd have to ask yourself, well, who's making the bucks? You know, and again, this is another thing. Is it going to trickle down? Everybody thinks everything trickles down, but, you know, it really doesn't to where it gives us any major impact. We saw the Federal Reserve, again, I mentioned, had their made it clear that it sees a near perfect environment to keep raising interest rates, and they seemed very undeterred by the recent market volatility. And the 2-year Treasury note, which most reflects the Fed policy, rose slightly, touched briefly on a new decade high of 2.97%. So, you know, it's going to be just more evidence that rates are going to continue to rise. And, you know, again, this will put additional pressure on the economy. Let's see if there's any other interesting. Sears is going to shut 40 more stores early next year. I'll tell you, how many more stores do they have to come?
I was going to ask a question. I mean, how many stores have got left already, for goodness sake?
I know. They announced today 40 more stores early next year. They filed for bankruptcy on October 15th. There was roughly 700 Sears and Kmart stores in operation. It's looking to close 142 unprofitable stores. And, of course, there's also more closures that could follow from that. So these additional store closures come as Sears is still looking to formally secure the money it needs to stay in operation long enough until it can find a potential buyer to avoid liquidation. So it had interim approval for $300 million in emergency financing and was in talks with hedge fund ESL Investments for another $300 million loan. And this was all according to the bankruptcy filing. So So we'll see how that, again, this will happen in February of 2019.
That's almost here. Unbelievable. Yeah. But we're talking about 2019. It's a couple of months, well, less than a couple months away. It's really scary how fast this is going by.
It really is.
And you know, you're talking about the stores closing, and this is along the same lines, perhaps, but you go ahead and finish your comments. I don't want to interrupt you because you're talking about some important things.
No, I was going to go on to another topic, but you're going to talk about retail, so go ahead.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about this because this is kind of important. Mini robot supermarkets assemble customers' orders on demand. Now, I'm not making this up. Grocery group Ahold Delhaize, I guess I pronounce it, will roll out small automated warehouses to speed order picking and cut delivery times. That's what it says. The entire $1 trillion grocery industry is transforming before your eyes as Amazon sparks a robot war with other grocery store enterprises. Stores will be largely free of cashiers, pickers, and stockers, putting millions out of work. Technocrats invent because they cannot because there is a good reason to do so. They said they're just going to make more of them. It will put millions of workers out of work. Now, I understand trying to cut costs and efficiency is wonderful, Melody, but where will all these people go if the grocery stores do, and they will eventually, go to robot pickers. They even fill your orders for you. I mean, you old enough to remember the general stores?
Sure.
You walked in, they had a counter there, and you give them your list. They went and got what you wanted. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is going to be basically the same thing, but robots going to do it.
Yep.
Now, what's up? I don't know. Maybe there'll be many, many, many more kinds of jobs come open that people can get in place of that. But we're seeing the automation of this country literally, I would think, starting to come back on jobs. I know Trump said, we're going to discuss this more in a little bit, but Trump said we had created 200,000 jobs on this past month, and we're going to discuss that from an article that Peter Schiff wrote that I think you'll find very interesting. But I don't know. I'm just concerned. When a robot takes a job, where does that person go?
Well, these technology companies, they say this is one of the governments are not are doing anything or trying to figure out to do something with the workers that are going to lose their jobs. And you know, everybody thinks that we had the industrial revolution that created all these jobs, that the tech is going to do the same, but I beg to differ. I think we've already seen the jobs created that tech was going to create by the manufacturing of the phones, and you know, even though none of them are done here, but I mean, what little they do, you know, we've seen that job creation. Now technology has gone so far that, yeah, is the technology is going to be replacing humans. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And that's why there's this big push on the UBI. This is why on the universal basic income, because what are people going to do?
Sure. Exactly.
They're going to turn to government.
Welfare. Another form of welfare like we always have. And we got so much covered there. I don't want to take over your program, but there's so much to talk about, Mel. I mean, there's so much going on. And can I make a comment or two on the election?
Yeah, let me just finish up on this financial thing.
Well, you go right ahead. Just act like it's your show. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sure they'd probably rather listen to you than me, but I think this is important because we're looking at the stock market. People don't sense. We talk about this all the time. You know, if I'm going to look to see what's going on in the market, and I think Peter Schiff, too, it's not an economy. It's a bubble. We've been saying this for years. And we're looking at the market's biggest buyer. And these are companies. These companies are buying back their stocks at a record pace this month. The stocks market's biggest buying force is on track to post a historic November as corporations resume a rapid pace of share buybacks after third quarter earnings announcements. November is shaping up to be the strongest buyback month in history on record.
Wow.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, that has IRAs and 401s and pension accounts and retirement accounts. Investors blamed a so-called buyback blackout as a reason for the October rout in the markets because companies are barred from buying back their own stock in a window around their earnings releases. So buybacks have been the driving force behind this bull market. It isn't the economy. Hello? It's not the economy. With companies even issuing debt at low interest rates to repurchase their own stock. What happens when these rates begin to rise? It's more expensive to service their debt. They're not going to be buying back their shares anymore. In the past 4 weeks, as earnings announcements wound down, buybacks have averaged $3.3 billion daily. Daily.
$3.3 billion
daily with the number of announcements running at the fastest pace in 3 years. The recent buying has been fairly concentrating with buybacks from Wells Fargo, $18 billion, Merck, $10 billion, accounting for a combined 43% of the volume. Almost half of the volume. I mean, it's just unbelievable. 13 other companies have introduced buybacks of at least $1 billion. We talked about Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, who just bought $1 billion worth in August.
That's amazing. And I was just reading again yesterday that if it wasn't for the military-industrial complex, many businesses wouldn't do anything at all. You follow what I'm saying?
Probably.
Yeah, really. I mean, supplying the military is a big thing. Now, you say, well, what's that have to do with Walmart? not, maybe nothing directly as far as them selling to them, but manufacturers make products that go both places. But the military needs everything Walmart has. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have to have paper, and they have to have all supplies. They got to have tools. They have to. So the military industrial complex is really huge, and it's a big part of the economy. And that is not producing anything back in the economy.
Well, no, not at all. And okay. But I'll tell you what, with these buybacks, you know, we talked about, you know, with the tax cuts, they were going to repatriate money back in. And I said from day one, from a year ago, what they're going to do is every time there's a weakness in the markets, that's when you'll see these companies repatriate their money back into buying back their own shares to prop up the market so the little individual guy can go in there and think that he's buying on the dips. It's just, it's just mind-boggling. Well, it isn't, but so.
Well, I wonder why this isn't talked about on ABC or CNN. I mean, the rest of them. Why didn't Fox talk about it?
They're too busy talking about. Well, you know, to be, you know, there are some CNBC, some of these financial news. They will talk about it, but not too in depth, and not to say that this is why the markets are turning around and so forth. Everybody knows it, but nobody says anything about it. Financial planners will never admit to it. So the fundamentals.
That will cut their pay.
Yeah.
They don't think about it.
So. I just had to get that off my chest.
Well, I'm glad you did.
That's, you know, and so when we talk about it, this is the bubble. This is the bubble Peter Schiff is talking about.
It's smoke and mirrors. And when it goes away, it's going to go away hard. And people that put their money into these things and trusted for their retirement or whatever are going to fall flat on their face. And it's going to hurt.
You know, it's one thing about gambling. Gambling is okay, but you have to know the risks. You have to understand the risks, and that's what no one does. You know, someone will always ask me, well, Melody, should I do this or should I do that? It's like, well, what's the worst case scenario? Well, worst case scenario is I'm going to lose all my money. Well, that doesn't sound like a really good plan to me then.
I agree.
So, you know, you have to look at what the risks are. And no one does that. No one understands what these risks are when these companies stop buying back their shares. You think they're holding their shares? No, these CEOs and everybody else, you talk about inside trading, they should all be fired and thrown into jail just like Martha Stewart was. All right, we're heading into a break. We'll talk about what you want to talk when we get back.
Okay, gee, thanks.
You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Let's get right to it. You wanted to take over.
Well, just for a little bit here, because
okay.
I got some opinions here that might mean something. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely, it does.
$2 to buy a cup of coffee. But anyway, I will make a couple comments on the election and what's going on the border very quickly, but I find it interesting that about everybody I talk to, I mean people that are generally pretty much up on what's going on, assume that the Republicans would gain seats in both places, House and Senate. And I don't know that this is, I know everybody says, well, boy, he sure is skeptical and he sure is cynical. Maybe I am, but I don't trust voting machines. I don't trust computers to put the votes in the way we do it. Now, if you won't believe it, you more power to you. But I do believe that this was a rigged election to bring on gridlock. Trump has been in office 2 years. He's done some things I totally agree with. But he hasn't done most of what he says he's going to do. And I'm going to make this comment and move on. In September, he signed a bill. Well, I guess it would be like a defense bill. And in that bill, they completely funded Planned Parenthood, and also paid for experimentation on murdered baby parts. Trump was going to stop that. He didn't. But anyway, and Republicans have been in charge now for 2 years, Melody. The Republicans have been in charge for 2 years. What did really change? I don't know.
Well,
but now we have gridlock again. Go ahead.
I'm going to take a little bit off of, because what I think is the Republicans that are just worthless. It's, you know, they are just worthless. Totally worthless.
Well,
that's the only thing I
can
agree about them.
I mean, both sides are. But now we have gridlock, so Trump has a real good excuse to not do anything. The Democrats won't let him. But about the border situation, now this was, oh gosh, on Jeff French's program last night, I can't remember the guest, and I should remember the guest. The guy works, he's inside the White House, has been in there several times. He knows Trump personally. Mathis and West C. Clark, the other general, I think it is, are fighting Trump for putting troops on the border. So they're not going to do it. Well, first off, they can't disobey him legally, lawfully, whatever, but they're trying to. But I did see on ABC News, I'm pretty sure, or maybe on Robin Meade's program, watching in the morning, where they're putting up, erecting tents on the border, along the border. Those are not supposed to be for the troops. Supposed to be for immigrants. Well, if they're not going to let them in, why do they need tents? That's just my question. I'm not throwing stones. But why are they doing that? That's just a question I had. So we will see what happens on the border. This may be another political ploy for both sides. I have no idea. But back to better news on the election. In Texas, this is wonderful. A man in jail was elected. A guy named Representative Ron Reynolds from Missouri City, Texas, was elected to his office with almost 50,000 votes, and he's in jail for a year. Isn't that wonderful? And I can beat that.
the dead guy in Las Vegas, the porn.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to get. The pimp.
The pimp.
That's what he was. The pimp. Dennis Hoff was elected to the 36th Assembly District Tuesday night. This guy is a dead pimp. He's a whoremonger. He's a pervert. And he's dead and got elected. Go figure.
Yeah, you know what? It's not. It's trying to get into the minds of those that would vote. Now, it could be just the rigged election, and this is how, you know, they came off, you know, that maybe that was part of the rigging of the, you know, of these elections and so forth. I don't know. Maybe they had to go somewhere and they chose these people. But for those who literally voted for these people, it's like, what's in their minds?
What minds?
Well, that answers that question.
I mean, seriously, and it could have been rigged, but I can't imagine even wanting to rig it for a dead man. I mean, obviously, he can't do much harm.
Well, I'm not saying rigging it for the positive. I'm just saying as an overflow from the bigger picture of the rigging, maybe these, you know, in order to convert these votes from, you know, a bigger picture into something, they had to put the votes somewhere, so that's where they put them. I'm not saying it was rigged for these guys, but just as a... in order for them to rig the bigger picture, if I'm making sense.
Well, you're making sense, but you know, on top of that, we have 110 women now in the House. We have Muslims elected to the House. We have the first homosexual governor in Colorado elected. So this really makes God plead with a Christian nation. I mean, we elected a pimp, a man in jail. We put Muslims in, which they're definitely pro-Christ, and we put a queer in. So, and there's more than that. I just haven't time to go through all of them. But this, you know, we wonder why the nation's insane. I mean, well, you watch the market. You watch every day, and I do too. Not much you do, because you're an expert at it. But we scratch your head. How are they doing this? You got some ideas how they're doing it. But a corrupt system, Melody, is only controlled by corrupt people. I mean, that's how they do it. You can't trust these people. You can't trust them for good morning. You know that, obviously.
Yeah. But what's interesting? You know, I can go back to when I was a little girl, and I could remember comments, you know, maybe around, you know, maybe listening in on, you know, discussions of my parents and so forth or whatever. But, you know, it was always, you know, everybody always knew politicians were corrupt,
yes,
crooked, and everybody just chuckled and shrugged their shoulders and accepted that this is what a politician was all about. And it's not the politician, it's those that accept it and shrug their shoulders. That's the issue. And it's you know, I've heard for too many years I don't vote from various people and so forth because it doesn't make a difference. I don't vote because of this and that. I don't vote because of this and that. And that's all part of the problem. And so I don't know how you fix these problems.
Well, first, the way to fix them is you do something about it. But that doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
No, I've written a few books, and one of the things I wrote in one of the books is a statement: if a society tolerates and does not destroy evil, then evil will destroy that society. Is that not coming true?
Mm-hmm.
And D.K. Chesterton said, tolerance is a virtue of a man without convictions. So if we tolerate it and chuckle it off, we have no conviction. And I wrote this also, tolerance of evil is a creed of cowards and fools. That's pretty much putting the way it is. We, you and I, the people, let this happen. More specifically, the church let it happen. So we've tolerated this to the point that, to tolerate evil actually is evil. You know that.
And when I was making a comment, when I used to listen to my parents and so forth, it wasn't that they weren't doing anything. I could remember my mother voting, and she'd always be so proud, and I can remember asking. And it was a very big deal. You didn't tell people who you voted for. It was a very private and thing that you did, and at least when I was a little girl. But so it was... And too, Pastor Butch, I can remember reading about various times in hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it was always evil would always try to, you know, come out from underneath and do all this evil stuff, but there was always enough faith, and it would always push it back all underground. You know, they'd come out, and, you know, you'd have, sure, you know, the faith and push them back underground. This time, they destroyed the part that always pushed them. Well, they didn't destroy it, but they've changed it to the point where they are no longer pushed underground.
They weaken it.
And they've come up and they've created this thing like they do good. And then in the background, you know, their evil ways continue. They fooled.
You've heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, right?
Yes.
The preacher under Hitler. He said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Mm-hmm. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. And another little statement I made here, and I think this we need to pay attention to this as Christians. The will of the people should not overrule God's will for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And we've let that happen, have we not?
Mm-hmm.
We want government benefits. We want government hands. We want to be taken care of from womb to tomb. And that's why we got this mess. And I have an article about Peter Schiff I'd like to read in a little bit and have time.
Well,
here.
I don't... And I'm just... Yeah, we immediately need... But the thing of it is, a lot of the people didn't choose to be in the early beginning of it, didn't choose to be in those positions. But because of government and their growth and their policies, it created an environment to where that part would grow. They make it to the point where if you try to do better, you're penalized, you're punished.
Of course, but who allowed that? Who was told to make sure that didn't happen?
Well,
was it the government to make government? Was the government to govern themselves and make sure it didn't happen? Or were the people given the duty to do that?
Well, true. I mean, it always comes back to the people, especially in our government. But still, by government, by having a fiat currency, by creating inflation, by making housing unaffordable, by taxing people and so forth and whatnot, it's created this environment. And when people have a bad time, I don't mind helping people, but we're not supposed to help them for the rest of their lives.
No, we're not.
But again, every time they try to do something, they're penalized by it.
Well, and in our lifetime, they took away the real money. In our lifetime.
They did.
And the people did nothing about it.
It's true.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We had no idea what real money was. Even 1964, people had no idea what real money was.
I had no idea.
So that's why we lost it.
People didn't know in 1933. People didn't know when the Federal Reserve was created.
Well, that fits in Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed be the man who puts his trust in man. We did that. We were stupid. And Proverbs 24 said, when you stand on the king's table, watch out what they offer you. It's better to cut your throat than just have an appetite at the king's table. But we trusted the king, Melody.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have fiat currency. People are struggling to make it. I don't care what anybody says. We're going to share this with Peter Schiff, but the economy is not as good as they want to believe. Now, I may not be the brightest bulb in the house, but I can see that.
You know, I saw an article, and I know who James Rickards is. I'm not a fan, but every once in a while he does come out with something good. And I saw a recent article, and you know, it was titled "The United States is Going Broke." No, the United States is not going broke. The United States is broke. Take the word "going" out.
In debt.
And the country is bankrupt. Period. But what he was talking about is, you know, he talks about, you know, those who focus on the U.S. national debt, and we keep wondering how long can it go on? And when we look to the U.S. debt to the GDP ratio, it is at the highest level in history, 106%. The only time that it was ever higher was in the immediate aftermath of the Second World War, and then, you know, we change things. Today, everybody does think that this just could just be printed and printed, and that there's no reckoning for this abandonment of reckless spending of accountability.
You know, if people had any sense, they'd realize that we can't do that as individuals. Governments can't do it either forever. The resources will dry up.
Absolutely. I mean, in this election on Tuesday, I read that a lot of your state tax issues that were on the ballot all got turned down. They didn't pass. People are tapped out.
Yeah, they are.
They don't want to pay more taxes. But the only thing that's going to get us out of our problem is they're going to have to tax us more. I just saw an article where they're suggesting that President Trump's increased the gas tax to pay for the infrastructure. What do the new Democrats want in Congress? Infrastructure.
Of course. And before I forget, one good thing did happen here in our state with election. We passed an amendment that the taxpayers in this state do not have to fund murdering children. Our Constitution says we don't pay that. The taxpayers in this state don't have to pay for abortions any longer in this state. It only passed by 2%, but it did pass.
Well, I saw Alabama also had a similar.
They did. They passed it some months ago, I think. But anyway, Peter Schiff said this. I'm going to break about 3 minutes, but I want to try to share this if I can. Peter Schiff said the truth is we don't have a booming economy. Peter Schiff doesn't mince words when he declared the precarious state the United States economy has found itself in. As SHTFplan.com Max Slavo says, Schiff said the truth is we don't have a booming economy, and he's not the only one who has noticed. October was the worst month for global equities in more than 6 years. Globally, stock markets lost 7.5%, the worst month since May 2012. Even with the late rally, it was the biggest monthly decline in the Nasdaq since 2008. All the bulls were out in force on the financial networks, claiming that the correction is over. Everybody was confident that the lows are in, that the big back-to-back rally is proof, and you better buy now. Otherwise, you're going to miss the rally, and this is the typical correction, and now it has run its course. And you know what? If this really was the end of the correction, most likely there wouldn't be so many people that were so confident that it's over. You'd have a lot more fear, especially on Halloween. The fact is there is no fear. To me, that shows that it's more likely that it's not the end of the correction, but the beginning of a bear market. And Schiff is well known for predicting the 2008 financial crisis, but that becomes slightly more real when hearing him say that the job market is a gigantic bubble. Schiff says that jobs are just one more bubble that's about to burst. Left a little break for get through this, I believe. But anyway, 200,000 jobs a month in an economy the size of ours, especially given how few people or what a large percentage of the workforce is not working, we should be creating a lot more jobs than 2,000 jobs a month. But we're not. Even though wages are rising for people just that have jobs, the cost of living is rising faster. But the cost of servicing their debt is rising even faster than that. And we'll finish out with the break, Millie, but this is phenomenal stuff. And he's telling us like it is. People are getting pay raises, but it's not keeping up with inflation. It is not. And no, I don't care what they try to tell you in the news, it is not. Inflation is not 2%. It's more like 10%, if it may be more than that. But you comment after the break, anyway.
I'm going to go live with those people.
There you go.
Inflation is 2%. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're heading into the break, and we'll be right back.
Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We were talking about Peter Schiff, and I think he has some great information.
I'll finish that article because it gets better as you go along here. I mean, it's really, very good article. And it's talking about, of course, jobs and people finding jobs, and the cost of living is rising faster than what they're getting pay raises. And that is an absolute, they said that 2.5% pay raise was the last month and one of the largest in history. Inflation, Melody, is at least 10%, and I don't think anybody can deny that. Now, say, as far as the job growth goes, the mainstream keeps pointing it to, as a sign of a booming economy. As Peter pointed out, we're borrowing a tremendous amount of money to get this job growth. Clearly, if we're running record budget deficits, and we are, and record trade deficits, and we are, everybody is clevered up. You know, spending all that is borrowed money creates some jobs. But those jobs are not sustainable because the debt is not sustainable. The consumption based on debt is not sustainable. Increasing prices is a direct result of a decade of Federal Reserve easy money policy, Schiff accurately says. Over the last 10 years, the Fed has printed trillions of dollars out of thin air. And that's probably an understatement. But anyway, the point is we're running record trade deficits. We're running huge government budget deficits. The GOP cuts income taxes. We're giving everybody money to spend, so people are spending. And in the short run, yes, you can goose up the economy and you can create some unsustainable jobs. But just because we have these jobs today doesn't mean these jobs are going to be here tomorrow. Remember, Schiff concludes, that every boom had been followed by a bust. Now, that's a pretty powerful article.
Well, I just want to ask the listeners, how many times have you heard the same thing that we've been talking about on this program for how many years? He sums it up nicely, and I'll give him credit for that, but it's the same thing that we've been talking about and saying here for how many years? The debt is unsustainable. It's debt too great to be paid. You remember Al's statement, it's debt too great to be paid. We've been saying it and saying it even before that. We have a fiat currency.
Obviously, we would think that everyone that wants to understand can understand that a fiat currency cannot service debt. All we can do is create more debt. Now, you think that about anybody that can scratch your butt where it itches could figure that out. Wouldn't you?
I just got a visual. I know. Absolutely. And, you know, it's, and again, I say, if you stick to the basics, you can understand how it all works. Sure, it gets complicated in the schemes of Wall Street and buying back shares and all the new programs they create in order so this money filters back in so people do spend. But when you get to the bottom line, you just look at one and one does equal two. Yes. There's no, they use the funny math, but guess what? Eventually, one and one equals two. That's reality. And that's what's going to come home to hurt those who think and trust the government and Wall Street, these multinational corporations. You know, everybody pinpoint this and blames other countries and the trade wars and the tariffs. It's the multinational corporations who sold you out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, somebody told me yesterday, said, some people are defeatists. And I said, well, I won't call myself a defeatist. I'll call myself a realist. A defeatist is someone who says, there's nothing to do, I'm going to quit talking about it. But I'm not going to quit exposing it. I'm not going to quit. I'm not defeated from telling the truth. But I'm a realist, knowing that this cancer has went too far. We can't turn it around.
No, and God bless Donald Trump. I still haven't. I'm kind of in the same ballpark with Pastor Butch. Some things are good, but I try to, you know, maybe I you know, maybe we've been doing this too long, and we've been saying that things just aren't as what you want them to be. I mean, there's hope. There's always hope. But that doesn't take away to the fact that we have debt too great to be paid. It's not going to be paid. The only way government can do this, they're going to inflate their way out, which means inflation's going higher. The market is going to pull back. People are going to lose 50, 60, 70% of the retirement accounts, period. And well, it's not going to come back like 2008.
No, it's not. They can't. They can't do that again.
They can't do it again.
You're talking about inflation. Venezuela in October, you know what their inflation rate was in Venezuela last month? 833% in Venezuela. 833% inflation in 1 month, Melody. How do the people even exist there? I mean, how do you answer that?
They eat
and we're looking here at American thing. Well, you know, we've got 10% inflation. No, that's really not true. But we'll say that's why it is. How long can we tolerate that at 10% a month, every month?
You can't.
We can't. We can't.
No, you can't. So, I remember Zimbabwe.
Oh, yes. Yes.
People were sending their children out to pan gold in the streams.
They were prostituting the children, doing that in Venezuela right now.
But that's the only, well, I'm talking about, you know, when they had the hyperinflation.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They sent the kids out to pan gold so the gold would buy them bread. Well, you know, I talked to people from Zimbabwe, and I can remember a woman who told me, she says, yeah, she's had to leave her family. She had to go out of the country. She had to you know, go and work and send her money back, she says, because, you know, until they started taking the U.S. dollar, their money was absolutely worthless. You know, and that's the only way, by, you know, making people reliant and, dependent on our currency. It's the only thing that keeps it going. Confidence. Yeah.
I don't know how long they can keep pulling this scam off, but I can't say it going forever. I really can't. Even in China, you probably read this already, that a bank run in southwestern China could signal impending financial crisis for China. You probably saw that, didn't you? A bank run in China.
I didn't see that.
Okay. Ever since China's shadow banking sector peaked 2 years ago, one of Beijing's biggest financial and social stability concerns was of widespread out-of-control bank runs, which, if left unchecked, could cripple China's massive 35-plus trillion financial sector, which prompted the authorities to launch an aggressive deleveraging campaign targeting China's shadow banks. And what China has had its close encounters with the occasional bank jog, it's always succeeding in intercepting them just in time, or threatening a crackdown if such behavior persisted. As a result, financial stability was preserved. That might be about to be changed in what the Epic Times warns could be the sign of an impending financial crisis. A small bank in southeastern China, city of Zizong, just suffered a bank run. Bank runs is what happened in the 30s whenever Roosevelt closed the banks. In China, even China, which we at one time, Melody, was the largest economy in the world and really prospering, everybody thought, like Japan was for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It could go bust also, because it's running on the same idea, fiat currencies.
Yes, go on. You're doing great.
I don't know how many times you got to see this to understand it. I mean, nation after nation, and history, folks, study your history. Study the financial downfall of every society that's ever been inside a society of any size, including Rome, including all the nations, and we'll say the world empires, collapsed under a multicultural society with fiat currencies. That's what happened. It happened. It has happened through Europe. It's happened in China. It's happened in the U.S. But I don't know why, in the name of all that's holy, we can't understand that the United States is not immune to this. And obviously that's true.
I want to ask you a question. It's kind of going back, and I don't know if you're finished or not, and my apologies if you're not. I saw an interview with the Senator Joe Manchin out of your state.
Right.
And do you think he's going to run for president in 2020? He was smooth. He was smoother than any. I was surprised because I never really paid much attention to what he said.
When Manchin was still governor, I met with him two or three times in his office over some issues we had here. And Manchin actually stepped up to the plate and fixed him. He did. He told his head guy there that's in charge of this to take care of these people's problems, and he did do that. He truly did. But when we went to Washington, and I had some hopes for him. We went to D.C. I did. I really had some hopes the man might be a decent guy, but he talked like a decent guy. And like I said, he knows me. I'm not his friend or anything necessarily, but he knows who I am. And if I write him a letter, he does answer, and he answers my letter. Literally, he answers my questions. But Manchin went to D.C. and started becoming more liberal on a lot of different issues, abortion, guns, everything else. But he's been in office here. He's governor twice. That's 8 years. The Senate goes for 6 years. He's been senator now for 12 years. So he's senator again. So in West Virginia, name recognition is a big part of the game. Senator Robert C. Byrd was an absolute heathen in a lot of different areas, and I can prove that. He's involved in MK Ultra with Kathy O'Brien. I know Kathy O'Brien personally. She told me about he was one of her handlers. But he was elected every time. He died in office because everyone knew him. We are somewhat of a clanny state. People knows Manchin, whether he is good or bad, he's going to be elected because of what he's been known for so long. So yeah, he is pretty smooth. If you get down and talk to the man, he'll talk to you just like you and I are talking.
Yeah, that's how he was on this interview that I saw him. You know, and you know he talked about his abortion, you know, his abortion views and so forth. And you know, he made it sound like you know he was, you know, he says I was pro-life except in the times of incest, rape, and the health of the mother. He says he's pro-life, and I mean, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I wonder if he's not being groomed to be the Democrats.
You never know. I don't know.
I mean, he was. He. I mean, you're right. It was like he was sitting down, just talking back and forth like you and I. And I thought to myself, Not that I'm supporting him or anything. Not that at all.
I understand. I do. Well, you know, he almost came to my house one day for dinner. This had been some years ago. And I'm thinking about re-inviting him, seeing how he's re-elected. I'd like to talk to him again, man to man, and just he and I discuss things. Mm-hmm. But he's not a friend. I don't want to sound nasty. I don't dislike him necessarily, but I don't trust him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he'd do anything necessarily really evil. When a man goes to D.C. and tells me he's going to be this, this, and this, and changes when he gets up there, I don't trust him any longer.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't either. So but I mean, as far as the liberal left, I was curious because you know he was smooth when he was talking.
Oh, he is good. He is a good speaker.
Yeah, yes, he is. And when you can look at all the, if you look at what all the Democrats who they have, I mean, they think that this Beto O'Rourke from Texas is going to be their next dream star, you know, for the Democrats. And I'm thinking, what? No way.
And by the way, different topic. I want to cover real quick too. You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg failed and got hurt, right?
Yes.
You know Trump's going to be going appointing another judge here probably pretty soon.
Yep.
You know that also.
Yes, I do.
So we'll see what happens there. Not that the Democrats are in control of the House. Of course, I know they don't do a lot with that, but that's still going to make a backlog or a back kick on him, no matter who he chooses. But I'll reiterate again. I reiterate this very, I hope very forcefully, that this was caused so Trump would have an excuse not to perform like he wanted to, because now the Democrats run the House. I'm just saying like I believe it. You know, so we'll see. Do you remember back in the 90s when this happened? You know, there was a split government, so to speak, and a balance of the government. All it does is cause gridlock, and some people like that. And each side uses it for an excuse not getting anything done.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
And we're seeing so much happen. I mean, now we have people actually going to Tucker Carlson's home and kicking the door hard enough to crack it and threatening to. So we know where you live. We know where you sleep at night. His wife's hiding in a pantry in the kitchen, calling the cops saying getting robbed. You know, and nobody's home but her. I am one of the most peaceful guys in the world, but you could kick in my door. I'm going to shoot right through the door. I mean, this is ridiculous. Yeah.
It really is, and you know,
Now the Antifa is publishing the home addresses of Carlson and Ann Coulter and Neil Patel and Sean Hannity. They're putting out their addresses of where they live. This is dangerous.
It really is dangerous. I agree with that, and I don't know what to say to that.
It's going to be the violence. It has to. I mean, Melanie, how long can people stand by and somebody kick in their door?
Well, you know what? We had violence last night, and he was a vet.
Oh yes.
And there were, you know, there was issues with him too. And my thing is, you know, the only way that we're going to stop these shootings is if people are going to be held accountable. There were people were warned about him. They investigated him. They looked in at him. I can't remember exactly who, but you know, at least he was on somebody's list. And but what I do here is the music, so that means we're out of time. We need to pay 2 hours. We got to do 2 hours. Thank you. I appreciate it. What a great program. And listeners, thank you for joining us. Make sure you get protected. Your financial, your financial. Make sure your financial, you have that financial wealth or that financial insurance. So give us a call at 1-800-375-41. Thank you. Good night. And God bless.